Well, we are so glad that you are here today, and we are here to worship our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus. And so we have a really cool new series that we're working through. We're working through the book of Mark. And if you weren't here last week or you didn't pick one of these up, these are free to you. They're out what do we call that area? That place out there that you walk out. There's these little books, and it's the book of Mark. We want you to be reading with us, to be a part of this with us as we walk through the book of Mark. Today, we're going to continue on this series, the Gospel of New Origins, these new beginnings. And I really like this graphic, and the sermon today is called We All Come from the Booth. And I'm not a big superhero guy, and I faked it well last week as I described some of those things. I have not watched a lot of superhero movies. I think this is more Superman, if I'm correct. Is that right? For me, when I look at this, and go, oh no, it's Left Behind. And if some of you know this, what this is, it's a series about Jesus coming and rapturing people out. And that kind of freaked me out. That thing did a little bit. That's not what we're talking about today. We're going to be in the second chapter of Mark. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. But before we even do that, let's just pray. Father, we come before you. We're just thankful to be here. We're thankful that we can come before you and we can present requests to you. And our request today is that our hearts would be shaped by your word, that by your spirit, and that we would be open to whatever you have for us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 2. We're going to be looking at this. And last week, if you weren't here, or if you forgot, we talked about this new origin story, this new beginning, this coming out of the wilderness. In the first part of Mark, it talks about wilderness, wilderness, wilderness. And then in the first chapter, if you read that with us, you're going to have all of these healings that Jesus is doing. You have all of this stuff that's going on. That is really his ministry starting. You're seeing this happening. And then he begins to call his disciples. And so we're going to be looking at one of those stories of him calling his disciples. And this story that we're going to read, most of us have read it before or heard about it before. And when you read this thing, you kind of go, yeah, I get it. It's pretty straightforward. But I think it's one of the most important stories in the New Testament of us understanding how God saves us. And so some of you today are going to maybe hear this and go, wow, I need this. I need to come out of the booth. And some of you are going, I've always been out of the booth. And some of you are going to walk out of here a little bit frustrated. And I will just tell you this. Do not blame me. Do not blame me. It is the words of Jesus. And so you can blame him if you want to, but they are his words, not my words. And so we're going to look at this, Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 13. And this is a really critical story for us understanding our calling out of the wilderness, our salvation. This really helps our minds and our hearts to know how salvation works. And I'm not sure that there's a better story in all of the New Testament of how God works in our salvation. And so, some of us, I will just tell you this, so I was working through this sermon and I went, oh yeah, me too, in a lot of places. But some of us have not a good understanding or an unbiblical understanding of our sinfulness. And that's what this story is going to push against. And we're going to walk through this and we're going to look at this story. And we're going to look at how Jesus comes and what he does for us. When it comes to our sinfulness, there are really two ends of the spectrum. There's one end of the spectrum that says this. I understand that I'm sinful. I understand that I have fallen short of the glory of God. I understand all of that stuff. And man, God, he can't accept me. He could never love me. And we kind of keep God at arm's length. And that's one end of the spectrum, right? There's this picture in our mind that God could never forgive us, that God could never love us, that we're just and we kind of keep him this far away from us. And even if you've said yes to Jesus, we do this sometimes. Like, I need to clean my stuff up before God will ever accept me type of an idea, right? And then there's the other end of the spectrum that goes, yeah, I'm a sinner. And we know the verse that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we believe that. We hold to that. We know we need a Savior. His name is Jesus, right? We know that. But we don't really recognize how sinful we are. We're like, I'm sinful, but not as bad as Jimmy, right? Like, we always compare ourselves to somebody else. We always compare ourselves to somebody else to make ourselves feel better, to not recognize, not realize the need for grace and mercy of God. And that's what this story is going to address. It's going to address both of those positions. It's going to address the position that says, God could never accept me, and God... and the other position that God should accept me because I'm pretty good. It's going to address both of those. And so for those of you who have never heard the gospel or are struggling with the gospel, man, it's going to be good news for you. For those of you who are really churchy, and I'm including myself in that, it's hopefully is going to convict you. It's going to push you in a direction toward knowing that you need Jesus' mercy every day. You don't need his salvation every day, but you need his mercies every day, and they're new every day for you and for me. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 2, and we're going to read this and then unpack it. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi. Now, Levi is Matthew, first gospel, Matthew, in the New Testament. That's this guy, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. This is a key phrase. Underline that if you want, or in your notes, write that down. The tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up, and he followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Then Jesus makes, in this next statement, one of the most difficult statements for us to hear. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner." So what's happening? Jesus is hanging out. He's by a lake. There's a big crowd around him. And he says, he sees this tax collector in this booth. And he walks up to Levi and says, "Follow me." Now, understand that this is not a request. This is a command. Follow me. This is a command not just for Levi, but everyone sitting in this room. It's a command that we have as humans. It's a command that we have as people that we are to follow Jesus. And he says, "Follow me." And so Matthew gets out of the tax booth. And then there's some type of a pause because then they go to dinner. And there's sinners there, and Levi's tax collector buddies are eating with Jesus. And then there's some churchy people, the Pharisees or religious people, that he sees, and they go, "Man, that's just nasty what Jesus is doing. Jesus is hanging out with a bunch of tax collectors and sinners." Then Jesus looks at them and he says, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Let's look at the first part of this story, because it speaks to those of us in the room that deeply get our own sinfulness. It's we struggle with this idea of God being able to love us. We struggle with getting close to God. Maybe it's like you're you're in this place and you're like, man, if I could just do these next few good things, then I could go and I could have this relationship with God. No, is the question. And that's what this is going to unpack. It's this realization that you need to come out of the booth and accept this idea that Jesus has called you out of that to follow him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and he followed him. The key to understanding this verse is it's connected to the phrase, sitting in the tax booth. Sitting in the tax booth. To understand this, we need to understand what it meant to be a tax collector. These were Jewish men who were collecting money for Rome. They were cheats, they were thieves, and we kind of know this. If you've been around church, you probably have heard that part, is that they would say, well, Rome needs, let's say, $100. Well, if you're a tax collector and you're coming to me, and I was Levi, who I am, and I'm sitting in the booth, I would say, well, Rome requires you to give me $120. And I'd take a little 20 and put a 20 in my pocket. And so these people knew this was happening, but these people were working under the authority of Rome. They had some authority that they were doing, but they were cheats, they were thieves to their own people. And the people knew this, and they were horrible. They stole from them. There was also this other component to this. And it wasn't just stealing from them, those collected taxes. The Jewish people believed that God was going to restore the kingdom of Israel here on earth. It was going to be the primo country. It was going to be the primo city here on earth. And that's what they were looking for the Messiah. They believed this. They thought this was going to happen. They thought they were going to come in and God, the Messiah was going to come in and he was going to make the Jewish people the rulers of the world. These tax collectors for Rome were absolutely in contrast to what they believe should be happening. Remember who's in charge at this point in this world? It was Rome. And these people were working for Rome, right? For the tax collectors, what they were doing, or what these people viewed them as doing, is they're rejecting the very promises of God. If you were to come up to any Jew at that time and they would go, and you go, well, who's like the worst sinner around? Who's the worst sinner around? Who's like the bad of the bad? And this is what they would say. Just go look at the tax booths. Just go look at the tax booths. They're the worst. Number one, they steal from us. They're thieves. And number two, they don't even believe in the promises of God and they're Jewish. They don't believe at all in God. They despise him. Jesus in the story, he walks up to this guy named Levi. The guy who is, he's crooked, he's a tax collector, and he walks up to the booth. In the middle of his sin, in the middle of this, Levi didn't clean himself up for Jesus. He walks up into the middle of this, and what does he do? Come follow me. Come follow me. He's in the middle of his sin. He's not cleaned up at all. Come follow me. Come follow me. If that doesn't amaze you at some level, it really should amaze you. This is amazing grace. It's one of the greatest pictures of God's grace. Think about this for a second, that Levi was literally in the act. He was literally in the midst of his sin, right dab in the middle of his sin. And Jesus walks up to him and says, I want you to follow. I want you to follow me. The Bible doesn't tell us that Levi was sitting there and going, oh, what a sinner that I am. Oh, how horrible. No. No, he wasn't. He didn't have this crisis of conscience. He was sitting there. He wasn't sitting there feeling guilt. It doesn't tell us that. It wasn't like he was like, oh, God, have mercy on me. He wasn't doing any of that stuff. The scripture tells us that he was in the booth, and right in the middle of it, of this, Jesus calls him out of it. Here's the thing. If what's holding you back from following Jesus is something that you feel like you have to do, if you feel like, man, I am just too sinful in the midst of this, if it's holding you back from worshiping Jesus, because that happens to us sometimes, man, I can't listen, I can't praise him because I'm in the middle of my sin. I'm in the middle of I can't do it. If it's holding you back from serving Jesus, look at this story, because Jesus meets him there. He doesn't leave him there. Remember, he writes the book of Matthew. He doesn't leave him there, but he meets him there. He meets him in the booth, in the middle of his sin. He meets him there. This is what Jesus always does. Jesus meets us where we're at, but he never leaves us there. He never leaves us there. He always meets us in the wilderness. He always meets us in our booth. Jesus walks up in the midst of our sin and says, come, follow me. And that's for everyone in this room. Everyone in this room. He calls him out of the booth, but he doesn't leave him. He doesn't leave him in the booth. He calls him out of it. What's amazing is Jesus loved and he called him out right in the middle of his sin. And he does the same for us. Levi didn't need to clean himself up to have dinner with Jesus. Remember, there's a pause in this story. And then Jesus goes and he meets and he dines with this guy Levi at his house. From the booth, the middle of his sin, to dining with Jesus. This is amazing grace. It's amazing grace for Levi. It's amazing grace for each one of us who sit in here. The Bible talks about this other group of people. These people are a little bit indifferent toward their sin. They are like, well, I'm pretty good, right? I'm obedient. I'm kind of cleaned up. I look good. Obedience now. No. Let me just say this. Obedience is a good thing. We follow King Jesus. But this passage of scripture is a stark warning, and it's over and over in the text. This will happen over and over in the New Testament. There's this stark warning to obedient people. The Pharisees were obedient people. Here's the warning. In your obedience, don't ever forget you're still a man or a woman in need of a Savior. You need God's mercy daily. Here's what this story teaches us today. If you're saved today, Jesus called you out of the tax booth. Jesus called you out of the tax booth. Jesus didn't save you because he looked at you and went, man, this person's awesome, right? I need him for my kingdom. No. He did not do that. He didn't go, well, you know, he's better than Jimmy and Sally, and so he's got to be on my team. You should come follow me. He didn't do that. That's not what the scripture tells us. It tells us that we were in the middle of our sin, in the middle of the booth, sitting in the booth, and the wrath of God was coming our way. That's what the Bible tells us. Until Jesus pursued us, until Jesus saw us in the tax booth and said, hey, come follow me. You don't have to turn there. It's going to be on the screen behind me. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, we've been saved by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's, listen to this, enemies, this is what each one of us in this room were, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Here is what he is saying, and it applies to everyone that is sitting in this room, including me. Before Jesus stepped into the picture, you were a sinner, you were an enemy of God, and the wrath of God was coming your way. Ephesians 2 says this, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Dead means dead. You weren't kind of okay. You were dead. In which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. This is one of those dirty little verses we read and we go, that wasn't me. That's everybody else. That's not me. For some of you, you go, man, I never lived in the passions of my flesh. I was never gratifying the cravings of my flesh. And verse 3 says, you were, I was, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. And then verse 4 says something, but God. But God, it wasn't us. We're in the booth. But God did something. He met us in our booth. Why? Being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, but God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. This is unmerited favor of God. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything. You are not okay. I'm not okay. But God did something. But God did something. He did something for us. He called us out of the booth. I used to start my testimony when I was, for a long time, and I think maybe some of you did this, and this is true for me. I would say, I was a pretty good kid. Comparatively to others, I was a pretty good, I was mischievous, but I was pretty good. But here's the deal. This is what this passage says. But Levi, you're the desires of your heart, the cravings of your flesh, they were not for God. They were for the things that you were craving. But God did something. He demonstrated his love. He called you out of the booth. I don't start my testimony that I was good. God is good. God did something in my life. He changed my life through the person of Jesus Christ. I said, yes. He called me and he said, hey, follow me. And I said, okay, that seems like a good idea. And I will tell you, it's a good idea for me. It's also a good idea for you. Because if you are not a child of God, meaning that you've accepted what Jesus has done for you on the cross and that you are following Jesus, the wrath of God is upon you. You are an enemy of God. That's what the Bible tells us. God did something. God extended me grace in my booth. Here's the deal. We all are in the booth. We're all in the booth. Let's go back to the passage in Mark. It says, as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. This is that key phrase again. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and he followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him. And his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors. Here's the deal. There's tax collectors and there's sinners. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us who these sinners are. We could imagine maybe they're drug dealers. Maybe they're prostitutes. We don't know who these people are, but we know that there are sinners. And then there's that question that they ask. Why does he eat with the tax collectors and the sinners? The churchy people, the religious people were appalled. They were appalled by the people in the room. Before we go, oh my goodness, I can't believe these Pharisees. Here's the deal. We do this too. I've done it. You've done it. We look at somebody and we make a judgment and we go, man, at least I'm not like them, right? You know, we look at somebody who does something and, you know, a sin, and we go, man, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them is the same thing that's wrong with you. You're a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. Jesus says, you got to be careful because this reveals something about your heart. When we enter into that place where we're going, man, what's wrong with them? Or I'm better than this person. It reveals something about what's happening inside of us, what's happening inside of our own hearts. Jesus doesn't come down on these religious people for making judgments. But what Jesus does in this next statement is he explains how salvation works. Now, we see sin all around the world, right? We see it in other people, probably a little more easily than we see it in ourselves. We see it in the world around us, and it's not wrong to go, man, that's wrong. That's sin. Jesus doesn't come down on them for making a judgment on sin. The Bible talks about this. Those who are spiritual should come. And if you see somebody, there's sin in there, you should come gently and try to confront and to restore them. And in that, don't sin yourself type of a thing. And so it's not don't judge anybody or don't judge an action in anybody. So Jesus isn't addressing that. What he's doing here is he's making a statement about how salvation works. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come to call the righteous. I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Jesus says two things here about how salvation works. One is healthy people don't need a physician. Sick people do. That's kind of obvious, right? Like, we know this. If I have the sniffles, I don't go to the doctor. I go to the sauna, right? That's poor man's physician, right? Like, you go to the sauna, you try to get this thing, maybe put a little essential oil on you type of a thing. You know, that's what we do because we think, what? We can heal ourselves. We have a sauna, we have this or we have that, and we're not running to the doctor. When do you go to the doctor? When you go, man, I think I might have pneumonia, right? Sauna not going to fix that, right? Not going to. Our bodies are amazing things, but there's not everything. We have to go to the doctors at some point. And we go to the doctors when we realize what? That we are sick and can't heal ourselves. That's the first thing he's pointing out here. It's those who go, man, I can't heal myself in the midst of this. This is the point that he's trying to make. We go to the professional when we understand that we're sick. And who is the spiritual doctor? Who's the spiritual great physician? Who's the spiritual health expert to heal us? It's Jesus. We go to Jesus when we know we're sick. The last thing he said was, I didn't call the righteous, but the sinners. His point here is not that he's just calling tax collectors and drunks and swindlers and that type of thing. They're the only ones that can be saved. That's not what he's saying. His point is that the ones that are going to be saved are those who deeply realize that they need to be saved, that they need a Savior, that they need a doctor. Jesus says this all through the New Testament. This idea is all through the New Testament. In the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This word poor is really interesting to me. We think of poor, and when we use that, there's actually two Greek words for poor. And then one Greek word means like college poor. Like, you're eating ramen noodles for, I think they're like 20, how much are they? 25 cents now? Something like that. They were 10 cents when I was a kid. Or when I was in college. And they're delicious, though. They're a salty treat of deliciousness, right? They're good. And so that college poor, like, I can dig in the couch and find hopefully some change and go to Dairy Queen, or I can bum a couple bucks off of my buddy and we can go grab a couple of something off of the dollar menu type of thing. Here's the deal about that type of poor. That type of poor is survivable. I was poor in college, like many of you are poor. You can survive. You'll be probably okay. You're just poor for a season, right? And you can provide for yourself. So there's that type of poor. The poor that is used here is utterly destitute. It's something different. He uses a different word here. And what it means, and forgive me for this word illustration, it would be like taking a newborn baby and sticking it out in the snowbank with just a diaper on right now. Survival, not happening. Unless somebody comes and rescues them. That is you and that is I. We're the baby out in the snowbank. That is what he's saying. You need a savior. You need someone to rescue you. You are poor in your spirit. When you realize this, when you realize that you are poor in spirit, what happens is you gain the kingdom. You gain the kingdom of Jesus. You become a son and daughter of the Most High. You enter into relationship with God. This is the beauty of this. You out of your poverty comes this incredible provision that is given to us by Jesus. Let's go to one more story, because this story is retold in a little bit different way in Luke chapter 18, verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. And I give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Oh, this next verse, it's convicting. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is a story of two guys, two sets of Joneses. One was a super church and exalts himself as being good. He and then you have this other knowing he's not and asking for God's mercy. One understands he's in the booth. The other, he is outside of it. Going, man, he believes he's outside of it. And he's dressed up his booth. And he goes, I don't need a savior. I'm good. Look at me. And now obedience is good. Obedience is good. It's not what saves us. There is one who saves us, and his name is Jesus. What Jesus says is one is saved and one is not. Jesus describes a church attender, a religious person, a guy who goes to church every single time it's open. He gave money. He prayed. He was faithful to his wife. And Jesus says this, not me. He was not saved. He was not, that word justified means saved. He was not justified. The reason he said this, he was not saved, is that he's thought that he didn't need Jesus to call him out of the booth. That Jesus needed him on his team. He didn't think he was sick. He was trusting in his own righteousness. My friends, whether you're a sneaky snake like Levi or a good church person, let me just tell you this. We're all in the booth. We all need to be called out by God. And it's through his mercy. It's through his mercy that we are saved. When we sit around and going, man, I'm good. The reality is you're not good. I'm not good. We can never forget that we are men and women in need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. Jesus is no less my Savior today as he was yesterday or tomorrow. And I'm not saying that you lose your salvation. Don't be sending me emails on that. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that the grace of God has been upon you. And when you enter in and you realize, oh, God, have mercy on me, it changes things in your life. It changes your ability to follow Jesus. It changes what happens in your own heart. And if you're sitting here and you're going, man, I am good enough. I have arrived. I will tell you this. You need to check your heart, because Jesus said, you might not be justified. You might not be saved. We place our faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. Why do we place our faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of sin? Because we're sinners in need of a Savior. My friends, there is nothing on the flip side of this. There is nothing that is too big for Jesus to call you out of the booth. There's nothing too big. Nothing you've done, nothing that's been done to you that is too big for Jesus to be able to call you out of the booth. But recognize you're in the booth. Let's pray. Father, we come. And we're thankful. We are thankful that you showed your grace and your mercy through the person of Jesus. He was absolutely perfect, and he died on a cross for me and for all of my friends. And if we place our trust and our faith in him, he calls us out of the booth. He calls us out of our sin. Not one of us is good. Only you are good, God. Only you. Even Jesus said that. God is only good. Why do you call me good? God, we're thankful. We're thankful recipients of your grace today. God, let this change us and mold us. Your words of warning, for those who need a warning, God, I ask that your Spirit would warn them with a big stop sign, that they would realize that they're in that place. And for those who are going, man, you can't rescue me, you can't call me out, that they would know that your grace is bigger than anything that they've done. God, that we would all know that your grace is sufficient for us, that your mercies are new each day. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.